Picture this, a couple on the couch, one crying, one pacing. You should have married someone else. Despite doing everything right culturally, married young, kids, meaningful careers, home ownership, they feel disillusioned, tired, and anxious. This was Jefferson Bethke and his wife, building lives that felt ungrounded and disconnected from meaning. Their story reflects a broader cultural crisis. Americans work longer hours with fewer benefits than comparable societies, while 70% of millennials experience burnout, 54% report chronic loneliness, and 30% suffer from disruptive anxiety or depression. What if hustle isn't the solution, but the problem itself? What if the path to flourishing requires us to actively resist cultural pressures that even Jesus himself never succumbed to? The hustle culture has sold us a false promise that more productivity equals more fulfillment. Yet the evidence suggests the opposite. Our relentless striving has left us exhausted, disconnected, and spiritually malnourished. We've become so focused on doing that we've forgotten how to simply be. The Bethke family's annual summit avoids discussing goals, focusing instead on formations, the process of becoming through daily practices and rituals. This matters because humans are formed through repeated practices, not instant transformations. Simple changes like weekly Sabbaths and 24-hour phone breaks become identity-shaping commitments, not temporary fixes. Despite abundant self-improvement resources, we're drowning in information. In 2 days, we now create more data than humanity did from civilization's dawn through 2003. Winners and losers often share identical goals but different systems. While goals are linear with endpoints, formations are circular, ongoing practices that shape identity. Rather than, "I want to run a marathon," think, "I want to be a runner." With formations, consistency trumps perfection, as the process itself transforms us. We are shaped not by thoughts, but by what we love and repeatedly practice, our love-shaping practices or liturgies. Tech companies understand this deeply, with Apple creating temple-like stores where people exchange money for devices promising connection and meaning. Henry Ford's assembly line didn't just change manufacturing, it transformed culture. People began driving for pleasure, introducing the joyride, and shifting us from needs-based to desires-driven consumption. Though secular society has lost sacred rituals, we still crave them because meaning is fundamental to human nature. Viktor Frankl observed that concentration camp survivors were often those who maintained purpose, like the woman who saved margarine for Shabbat candles, connecting to God despite horror. Modern rituals have become consumption-oriented, from elaborate coffee routines to compulsive social media checking. Social media serves as our new religion, with likes as ritual and validation as God. We haven't abandoned religion. We've replaced traditional worship with self-worship. Our emptiness stems not from lack of activity, but from missing rituals that connect us to something greater. In a coffee shop with eyes closed, the cacophony becomes clear. Music, ice, shouting baristas. We've grown numb to our quiet places' true noise levels. While our brains naturally filter unnecessary sounds, modern noise overwhelms this defense. During a power outage, I witnessed genuine silence as dozens of devices fell quiet. At a Trappist abbey, George Pronick discovered city dwellers struggled with even 5 minutes of silence. This discomfort reveals its importance. As Henry Nouwen noted, silence is where the old self dies and the new self is born. Mr. Rogers transformed television by embracing calm amid an industry of constant stimulation. Silence is the greatest gift we have, he maintained, beginning every meeting with quiet reflection and once leading millions of Emmy viewers in silent contemplation. In Olympic National Park's Ho Rainforest, ecologist Gordon Hempton marked America's quietest spot with a red stone, actively defending it from noise intrusion. Like Hempton, we must seek and protect these sacred quiet spaces for our spiritual well-being. If you're not saying no to good things, you're probably not saying no enough. This applies to both major opportunities and daily micro-asks that drain our energy. We must resist the "this won't come around again" mentality when our bandwidth is already stretched thin. The unprecedented access we have to each other creates relentless demands. We can be reached through countless platforms anytime, while sleeping, on vacation, or in the bathroom. We've normalized constant availability. Time is sacred. I prioritize my wife and kids first, then work, community, select friends, and margin to listen to God's voice. After that, the clock hits zero. I acknowledge my time is limited. This isn't selfish, but aligning life with core priorities. The Torah Shemitah, a sabbatical year every 7 years when Israelites rested their land, represents a vital reset principle. Just as depleted soil requires artificial nutrients, we substitute stimulants for genuine renewal. We can only give meaningfully from margin, financially, emotionally, and vocationally. When we focus on meaningful work, family, neighbors, spiritual connection, and proper rest, burnout naturally subsides. Like the people of Swidnik who resisted communist propaganda by walking their TVs during news hour, Sabbath is our weekly resistance against a culture that defines worth through productivity. Genesis presents Earth as God's temple, where humans are His living images. And the seventh day celebrates God's presence in creation. Significantly, Adam's first experience was rest, not work. We're meant to work from rest, not earn it. Sabbath should be embraced like Christmas, a weekly celebration offering 52 opportunities for holy rest yearly. In our "I produce, therefore I am" culture, it becomes countercultural resistance. While breaking other commandments brings obvious consequences, ignoring Sabbath often yields short-term rewards yet ultimately depletes us. This practice improves with repetition, not perfection. It's our resistance against the "make more bricks" mentality that once enslaved the Israelites and now enslaves us. Through Sabbath, we declare our worth exists beyond our work. Faithfulness to our work, marriages, and communities has become rare in modern culture. Americans move every 5 years on average, far more than other nations, embracing transience as virtue. We resist faithfulness because it represents obscurity in a world obsessed with visibility and exceptionalism. Modern hustle culture promotes constant movement and endless striving for success, yet often leaves us feeling hollow. Faithfulness calls us to dig deep roots, commit to people and places even when difficult, and find meaning in consistency rather than change. Resisting the pressure to optimize and choosing rest over hustle feels countercultural. It means saying no to opportunities and stepping back from scaling influence. Yet the more we root ourselves in place and mundane repetition with love, the more joy emerges. The goal isn't to be the most accomplished, but to be faithful, to keep our heads down, love those around us, and honor the present moment. Better to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," than, "Well accomplished, my busy and hustled servant."